the basement. I have no idea where she
is. Please look upstairs.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, we are in Daf Yud. Not Yud. Yeah. We are on Daf Yeah, Daf Tes Mrav. Daf Tes. Halacha Yud. Page 17. Moment here. Let's see if we get a hold of him.
That's what he said. She's
going to
have him certified.
All right. How lucky are you? What can you do? I have to finish this thing by hook or by crook. As we have Edo, what's a lost article? Matzachamora par roim baderech. If he finds a donkey or a cow grazing in the field, ainzu aveda. It's not lost, obviously. It's grazing in the road. It's not an aveda because, obviously, that happens. You send your animal out to graze. Chamor v'kelev afuchim, he finds a donkey and its, however he finds the donkey and its saddle, whatever, is overturned. Upar ratzim and akramim, and a cow running among the vineyards. Hareza aveda, it is a lost item. Hichziro barcha, hichziro barcha. If it ran away, he gave it back and ran away. He gave it back and it ran away. I feel arba chamish upon me 4 or 5 times. Chayev lahachzir. He's got to continue to give it back. Shneimar says, Hoshev Tishivin, and the mitzvah continues. What if in the course of giving back the Aveda he's losing money? Right? Because it's taking time off of work in order to do it. So, if he's losing a selah, he shouldn't say to the person whose object he found, Tamei selah, give me a selah, and losin los choro kaporo batel. You pay him based on minimum unemployment. We have this concept of a comma. Now, in other words, l'shkar batola, what he would take not to work, not what he would make as he was working. Which is an interesting concept. I forget this from time to time, but you could actually, the person who's watching the Aveda has the right to claim payment for it, for watching the Aveda, because it's obviously in the interest of the individual who lost it. He said, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, he can't claim more than the object is worth. At that point, he should either sell it or get rid of it, because it reaches the point of diminishing return. Okay, in Yishon Basin, Masne Moifne Basin. If there's a Basin, you could stipulate in front of Basin that you don't want to have just the minimum unemployment, but rather the maximum unemployment. In other words, what you actually would make if you're working at your regular job. And in that case, the Basin certifies that. In other words, obviously Basin Paskins that you're allowed to receive that. Hopefully the Basin will judge it fairly and see if it's worthwhile for the person who lost the Aveda to pay you with your full wages. But that's what Basin's supposed to judge. Normally you can't demand that unless you go in front of a court. He mentioned Basin with name Miyasne. If there's no Basin, Entram leave name Yasin, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Entram leave name Yasin, if there's no Basin from which whom to make such a condition, a stipulation, in other words, to go and have them adjudicate the matter, Shalok Koidim, then you don't have to lose your wages in order to give back the Aveda. In other words, if your Taka is going to sustain a significant loss giving back the Aveda, then it's not your achrayus to go out and go through the effort. It's only if it's a relatively minor thing, and you think you can get paid back, then you can do that. Hello? Yosef Beckhofer. Back. So if there's no... Did you turn on? Yeah. It's HLM name Yasin, local in his concert. Matza berefes. You found it in if you found it in a stable, enochayabo. The stable, now even the stable is open, and obviously the animal can walk out. You're not required, or barn is a better word. You're not required to give the animal back to the owner. It's not required to go lock the barn for the animal or make sure there's something
there. He's in his own stable, but the door is open.
Right.
So you don't have to lock
You don't have to, right.
close the door?
No. Nope.
You know he's
going
to walk out.
Right.
chances are he'll wander away.
Yeah, you don't. That's not chiyuv of a Shabbos Aveda. Once it wanders out, that's true. It's a mitzvah to do it, but it's not required.
Not
required.
It's not really an Aveda yet.
That's right. It's not an Aveda waiting to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Technically, you're off the hook at this point. Birshus a rabim chayavah. If you found it in the public domain, then you're liable. Let's be nakfaros. If it's among graves, or itami lo the coin, that shouldn't become tamei for it. Imam lo aviv he tamei. His father said, go become tamei for it. O Shomer lo al taxer, said, don't give it back. I raised a little Yishma lo. Don't listen to it. Pirek v'ton, afilu arba chamisha pamim. If he, now there's a new issue actually, Pirek v'ton. Pirek v'ton is an issue which has to do with the a donkey which is overloaded. Or loading, there's two mitzvahs. One is to help somebody load a donkey and help somebody unload a donkey. Pirek is if the donkey is overloaded to help unload it. Ton is to help somebody who's having difficulty loading his donkey in loading it. So those are two related mitzvos. The question is which is the Raisa, which is the Rabbanon. If one's the Raisa, one's the Rabbanon. This is an issue which we're going to discuss now. So says the Gemara.
Unloading the donkey is not also Tzar Bar Lechaim.
Oh, the Gemara is actually going to discuss whether Tzar Bar Lechaim is involved in this or not. I can't see it from here. Is the tape turning? I can't see from here. Okay, good. So, Pierre Vitton, I feel Arba Chavish Pine Tony, even 4 or 5 times, Chai, because to continue to do so, Shemar Zov Tazov, continue to do it. Azov Tazov, it's double language, right? So, therefore, you have to continue to do it. Halach Vyashavlov, the owner went and sat by the side of the road and said, listen, Halach Mitzvah, it's for you, it's a mitzvah. For me, it's not a mitzvah. It's your mitzvah to help me. You know, it's easily proke. If you want to unload, potter, you're exempt. You don't have to go with him. Shemrat says, imo, with him, not by yourself, right? You don't have to go and do it on your own. Oyechol ozokin, if he was sick or elderly, chayov, then obviously he's incapable to do himself, so then you're chayov to help him in that situation, even if he's sitting by the side of the road, anticipating that you're going to do the work for him. Mitzvah not totally froke, mitzvah midaraisa, to remove loads of a lolito, but not to help somebody load up his donkey. Okay, so you would say because of Tzar Bar Lechaim, right? Makes sense. If Shimon Afli Tor, Shimon says it's also mitzvah to load up the donkey. Question is why? All right, we're going to discuss that. He was bearing more than his burden. In Zakulo, you're not required to assist the owner. Shneimar says, "Tachas maso underneath his load, masui shuyachol lamabo load which he can maintain." Bechoesar atmar mitzvah sasei kodemus mitzvah slo sasei. I have a question, says Amar. Normally, you say mitzvah sasei could precede the lo sasei, which same principle which we have is sasei docha lo sasei, right? That's the standard principle. Kotamar a mitzvah sasei kodemus mitzvah slo sasei. You're saying the mitzvah sasei does not precede the mitzvah slo sasei. In other words, you can't listen to your father if your father tells you to go be metame. You know, or let's say if your father says, or for that matter, to go into Beis HaKfaros in order to, if you're a Kohen, in and of itself, why should you not be allowed to do so?
The principle
of if your father or mother tell you to do that's what the Gemara answers, right? This is the Gemara answers. So it says, Shani Yehoshua Shuva Aviv Chayov Mi Kovenam Makom. Since both you and your father have to honor Hashem, so your father has no right to. Yeah, it is Rashi Chumash. That's right. The Tani relearned Rovates Velo Rapton. If it's a donkey which is just right now crouching, or I shouldn't say crouching, staggering beneath its load, not one which constantly staggers. In other words, you're not required. This animal is a staggering animal. You're not required to continuously pursue its even balance. So, Sezmar B'chazar Tani. When you have a question like this, we learn to we go back and we learn another practice. It says Parikimo Afilu Me'apamim B'yoyim, even 100 times a day. So, how do you reconcile the one which says not a rabton with the one which says even 100 times a day? Hey, the Tamar Rovitz of Lo Rav Tzon, that one which says, or somebody one which staggers occasionally, but not consistently. Ba'unamapilgar made it so an animal which causes itself to fall on the ground. Vain the tamar porikimar filumeapon, that says you do it even 100 times. Ba'odonis, it's an animal which is falling because it is onus. In other words, it's not its own, you know, stat. It's not staring because it's a lazy animal, but it's staring because, in fact, it's overburdened, right? Kitivka. It says, and this is also in the Bavli, most of this, Kitivka, when you meet up with the animal, Yochob Kiyam Mamish, with the animal which is staring, is it talking about the animal, when you, you know, bump into the animal, Tamloki Sire, it says, when you see the animal, Iki Sire, if it's Kisire Yochob Filu Rochok, should be the Escorial says Melomil. Is it even when you're a full meal away? Tamuloma Kisivka? No, it says when you meet up. So how do we reconcile? I have two contradictory psukim. How to reconcile this? So hey, Keitzad Shiru Chachomi Chachomi gave a shir. It's interesting, like it's like when we have contradiction in psukim. So it's like we hear the reconciliation to psukim is Mosan Akosav L'Chachomi. Chachomi says the Torah would really say Chachomi, you determine what the distance is at which one is required. So Shiru Chachomi, okay, to Shiru Chachomi, Echom Shivo Mechza B'Mil, it's 1/7 1/2 of a meal, which is 266 2/3 amos, and that's called a ris, specific shear. I don't know how they came up with that measurement. You know, maybe that's, it's not just eyesight, but it's also, it's called vicinity, I guess. That's the definition, being in the vicinity of the animal which is in trouble. So I guess the same thing, you know, if saw somebody who needed to go change the tire on his car, so if you're within a ris of that person, then you'd be chayv to help him out.
Push the car.
Don't push the car. It's not right. So that would be the same thing. Azov tazov zuprika. Now, it depends, of course, what the mitzvah is. Azov tazov zuprika. Azov tazov, that's removing loads. Akein tokeim, helping to stand up. Zutaina, that's placing loads. Now, this is Tanakama, right? Oh, not Tanakama, sorry. The Shai Tanakama throws in here the words Mikan Hoya. And Mikana, because it's all Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mikana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, America Shem, Sheporka Minatora, Kachto, No Minatora. This is the drush of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That you just like you have to remove loads, so too you have to help him shoulder loads on his donkey. Now, according to this, the mitzvah is not Tzar Bar Yochai. The mitzvah is actually, and the Bavli says this more or less explicitly, is the Tzar of the Baal Behemoth. So I'm not helping the animal because the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't hold Tzar Bar Yochai is Doraisa. He holds Tzar Bar Yochai is Derabbana. Or even if it's Doraisa, no, it's not Doraisa. It's only Derabbana. And it also doesn't apply all the time. How do we see that? Because here he says it's not just the mitzvah to unload, which is Tzar Bar Yochai, it's a mitzvah also to load. So it says the Gemara. Okay, therefore, Chamor Yisrael, oh, and of course, the rabbis, the Rabbanan, who say that the mitzvah deraisa is only to unload, not to load, they hold Tzar Bar Yochai is deraisa, and the mitzvah is one of Tzar Bar Yochai. Now, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is obvious. Chamor Yisrael, umasui shalakum. If you have a Jewish donkey, right, it's not a donkey who's a Jew, but a donkey belongs to a Jew, Masoy Shalakum, and the load of Goy is on its back. In that case, everybody agreed, both Rabbi Shimon Chai and Rabbanan, you have to unload and load the animal, right? But Chamor Akum, Umasoy Shalakum, if the donkey belongs to a Goy, even if the load is a Jew, now we have to reverse the Shitas, it's clearly in the world that cut and paste Gemara. You have to skip to the last line. Porik lotoin, you remove the load. Because even on an animal which belongs to the goy, there's issue Tzar Bar Yochaim. We don't have to help load it. Because helping to load, there is no such mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah to Rabbanan. Chazal only said, help your fellow Jew. They didn't say help the goy. Kedivin Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, however, and skipping back here to before, lo porik velo toin. You don't have to do either one. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a mitzvah Tzar Bar Yochai. There is no mitzvah Tzar Bar Yochai. The whole mitzvah is to assist your fellow Jew. So assisting your fellow Jew, that applies only to a Jew, not to a goy. Hello? Fix me, please. Meira Kuchkorem. Avidasu, Avidasu, Aviv. His Aveda, his loss, and Aveda of his father. Shaloi Kodemis. His loss comes first, okay? Your loss comes always first. Like we said in Allah Yud, really. You know, if you're going to lose money, you're not required to lose money. Avidasa, bottom line. Avedas of Rava. His loss and his Rebbe's loss. Shaloko Demis' loss comes first. Avedas of Aviv, Avedas Rabo. The Aved of his father and the Aved of his master. Shalabo Kodemitsu Shalaviv. His master's comes before his father's. Shalavivil Chayelo Mazeh. His father brought him to the world to come. Varaboshlim Do Chachmah, Mivyol Chayim Abad. His Rebbe bring him to him Haba. That's more important. Imayo Aviv Shokol Konega Rabo. If his father ever was Tamachochim, like his Rebbe was, is Avedas Aviv Kodemis, his father's loss comes first. Similarly, if his father and his Rebbe are bearing burdens, first you take off your Rebbe's burden, then your father's burden. Father and your Rebbe are in prison, but it's Rabbo first you redeem your master, your Rebbe, and then you do your father afterwards. If his father ever is Talmid Chacham, play this Aviv Chayr, play this Rabbi. First you redeem your father, and then you redeem your Rebbe. Tani, we learned there by so Ezu Rabbo, Shalim Do Chach, what's considered to be a Rebbe? Shalim Do Chach Mo, who taught him wisdom. Kol She Pasach Lo Tchila, Divi Rabbi Meir. This is a very interesting Rishami. In the Bavli, Rabbi Meir is said to have said something else altogether. In the Bavli, it says his Rebbe is he who taught him Chachma and not Mikra and Mishnah. So that's the Daf Kibikon Rebbe Meir. In the Bavli, somebody told you Gemara. But here Rebbe Meir says something totally different. He says, the person who taught you how to learn to begin with. You know, it's along with the Gra. The Gra all held his Rebbe. Famous story about the Gra. The Gra held to be his Rebbe only one person. The person who taught him Aleph Beis. Because once he knew Alpes, he said he could learn on his own. And that's really this Gemara, what the Meir is saying. Kosher Pesel Tchil, whoever opened for you the gates of learning, he's the person who's your Rebbe. Not anybody who comes afterwards. That's the Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Kosher Rov Talmud and Menem. Rabbi Yehuda says, anybody who most of your Talmud comes from him. Now, most of your Talmud comes from him means not just, like Rabbi Meir holds in the Bible, your Gemara, but also your Agadita, and your Tanakh, and your Mishnayos. So it's a very interesting definition. According to Rabbi Yudan, Talmudo means all of his learning. So in the Bavli, Rabbi Yudan uses language kosher of Chochmasoi Menu, which is interesting because according to the both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yudan, they use the word Chochma, and they have two different meanings. Chochma according to Rabbi Meir is Gemara. Chochma according to Rabbi Yudan means like a much broader definition, right? Not just Gemara, but also every other aspect of Jewish learning. Here, there is a distinction. Rabbi Shim, the Chochma, Kon Rabbi Meir, that's the capacity to learn, because that's somebody who gave you the basics. Whereas Talmud means the body of Jewish knowledge, okay? Rabbi Yosef says, Kol Shireinav B'Mishnasa. And the Bible of Gerson also in the Eskorial is Afilu B'Dover Echad B'Mishnasa. Even in one Mishnah. Your Rebbe is somebody told you one Mishnah. If he teaches you anything, that's already considered to be your Rebbe. Rav Krei Meir, Rabbi Yochanan Krei Yehuda, and Shmuel Krei Yehuda. So we're going to have three stories now. The three opinions. And each one holds like a different Tana in which what we just learned. Rav Krei Meir, Rav Otari Meir, Chad Bar Nash Pasach Pumi the Rav. A certain individual was the one who opened Rav's mouth. Now, it doesn't mean literally opened his mouth. What it means is that he taught him how to learn. So another is even an anonymous fellow. We don't even know who it is. Obviously, not one of the big scholars of the generation. Rishama Tadamach, are you off the phone? Can you please check if there's a voicemail from Mayor McGenzie? No? Rishama the Damach. Okay, it must be really angry at us. Rishama at me. Rishama the Damach. No, I was trying to Dr. Phil. Veshama the damach, and he heard that this fellow died. Ubaza love, and he ripped and he did rice kriya on him. Okay. The guy, this rebbe who taught him how to learn, his first grade rebbe, he did kriya upon him. So we see all that that's considered to be his rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan was selling materials where Yochanan went from Tveri to Tzipori. He was on a trip. Chamachar Parnas, he saw a certain individual, Tapa Yehuda Mraf, Nachas Yitama, was coming down from there, from Tzipori, where it was higher than Tveri. Tveri was on the seashore, Tzipori was higher. He had, Amalei Makalim Dinasa, what's going on in the countryside, or in your district? And they said, Sadchad Rabba Domach, a certain rabbi died. Cholam Apari, and everybody's running the top of the bait to go and pick any vowels of the vine. The other Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan knew who Rabbi Chanina. It was Rabbi Chanina. Shoch Ba'asin money, Tavin Dushuv, so Bazun, he sent that they should bring him his chosh for Shabbos clothes, and he ripped them. So this is where we're waiting. Lokin time, did we learn? Kol Kerah She'enu Shabbehallah, any rip which is not of confusion in Ukara means it has to be a spur of the moment thing. It's like an emotional reaction kriya. So, I mean, of course, when we do kriya nowadays, it's after the kura, but that's obviously a very emotional time, right? So, but if you to do premeditated, bringing my better clothes to do kriya, that takes away the whole concept of kriya, right? So, this is more not necessarily, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan want to do something more grandiose and give more covet. So Rabbi Yochanan holds you don't have to do it right away. It's ironic that the Lieberman brings down he argues in Rabbi Yehuda on this. Because he argues in Rabbi Yehuda who he holds in Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi is somebody who told you any area. It will see momentarily. But he argues in Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to decree immediately. And he holds you can wait on kriya. So, okay, that does have to be consistent, right? Can hold like Kirby do one thing, not another thing. So be as it may. So, we don't know Imrishum Rabbi. We don't still know if he did because of his because Rabbi Chanina was his Rebbe. Imrishum Shmuel Sorel says, time is a bad thing to hear, and therefore, because of bad news, he did kriya, regardless of whether it's Rebbe or not. So it says, Gemara, now here there's something very much missing. And the Escorial brings it down, and also the Kikar Laadim brings it down the bottom. Now you have, I don't know if you can read it in that small Gemara, but there's a Kikar Laadim, and it says like this. Milsid Rabbi Chia, but in the second line of the Kikar Laadim, all at the bottom. Milsid Rabbi Chia, but Abba Amara, what we're about to learn the name Rabbi Chia, but Abba teaches us Mishum Dahava Rabbe Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina was his Rebbe. Have a Mistamach Rabbi Chia, but Abba Tzipori, because the story is getting back to the Gemara itself. The first at the end, the first wide line. Rabbi Chanina was leaning Rabbi Chia bar Abba Tzipori. There was an old man, he was leaning. Chamakalama party, you see, he saw all the before he died, obviously. He saw everybody running. So he said, to Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Kuliyama, Lama Kuliyama party, why is everybody running? So he said, Rabbi Yochanan and Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan saying, Darish Rabbi Medrash, he's dashing the base Medrash. Everybody's running to go hear him. So Rabbi Chia said, "Oh, brich rachmona, bless the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the chamei li poirin, who showed me my peros, adon acham b'chaim, while I'm still alive." Why is that? It should be either bekol or kol. It's not clear exactly what the vav here represents. You can just drop the buff. But the Chartiso has Bakol, and Escorial has Kol, sort of like Escorial. Kol Agarato, instead of Vibaga Agarato, he has Kol Agarato, but I taught him all Agarato, all Midrashim, Chutzi Mishre Vikohelis, except for Mishle and Kohelis. That's what he taught. So Damaros teaches us, Rabbi Chanina, remember, Rabbi Yochanan tore Kriya when Rabbi Chanina died. But Rabbi Chanina didn't teach him Gemara. Rabbi Chanina taught him Agarata. So teach us Kol instead of Talmud v'Talmud. It should be called Talmud v'Talmud. So the Shara Torah Yisrael has it. This is other gears on the Skoria, Koshla, Rov Talmud Mimenu. But in any manner, it means that it does, like Rabbi Yudas, doesn't just go by Gemara, because Rabbi Yochanan didn't learn any Gemara from Rabbi Chanina. He learned Agarata from Rabbi Chanina. But that too counts as being your Rebbe. That's what they're trying to say. Okay?
Does the Gemara, does it use the term Talmud for Gemara? I don't recall.
Talmud doesn't just mean Gemara in the Gemara.
When they say Talmud here.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily mean Gemara.
No, they mean any stuff, any discipline. Right, any discipline, that's what it means. Any limud, or we would say in modern Hebrew. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, it's even one thing. Amar Chai Bar Nash, because one person said, I'm not sure what the Amar is here. Somebody said, Chai Bar Nash, Azbil Shmuel, a certain individual explained to Shmuel a Mishnah and Tamid, or Midos, I forget what it is. Mishnah Mavteach was telling about two keys in the base, two keys they had in the base of Mikdash. Echa Yoyed Lamas, base of Shechi. One you have to stick your hand all the way into the hole and turn around in order to open. Echa Bosekim, and when you open directly. Shayo Marina, he explained to him, Shayo Marina Yodo Achech Yoyo Bosekim. He would put his hand into his shoulder, and the other one he would open directly. Shama the Damach, he just explained to Rishmuel, this one Mishnah, again, I think it's in Midos, or I think it's in Talmud. In any event, he just explained this one Mishnah, Shama the Damach, when Shmuel heard that this fellow died, Bozallah, he writes Kriya on him. So we see that even one thing is very considered to make you a Rebbe. Okay? New Perek. Some of you gives for safekeeping to his friend, behemoth, an animal, kalim, or objects, benignu, when they were stolen, or lost. Now, the nifkat here, the individual who's given the articles to be called on, shilin, he pays. Even though you could get off the hook with the shua, let's say he was a shomer chinam, right? So it's not chayav in anything, really. Let's do take a shua, wasn't posheah. He wasn't negligent. So it's hooked. But he didn't want to take a shua. He paid. They said, he has the right to take the shua and go out, but here instead he paid. If then the thief is found, the thief pays double, if he slaughtered or sold, he pays 4 or 5, but does he pay? It's a guy who has to be caught, though. In other words, the Shomer. Why? Because the Shomer paid for the right to get the Kefa or Arba Chamisha. However, Nishba, what if the Shomer got himself off the hook by taking the old Taka? For Lorat Zal Sharmi, he didn't want to pay. Then the Ganav does pay Teshlume Kefa. And Tavach Machar be slaughtered or stole, that is slaughtered or sold. Then Mishalim Teshlume Arba Chamisha. Then he does pay 4 or 5, but the Mil Mishalim, but whom does he pay in this case? The original of the Baal Pikar. Minon Tesli, how do we know that this is the case? So it says, if you find in his hands the theft, and it says that it goes on, he paid double. Do we not know that you find the thief Yeshalim Shnaim, he pays double? We know from elsewhere that the Ghana pays two, right? So it says, if it's not necessary, tell us that the Ghana pays twice. Today, English fun of it's going on a case where there was a shomer, which is immediately preceding parsha in the Torah. And telling us that sometimes when you find a ganav, the ganav doesn't pay necessarily the owner, but sometimes he pays the shomer. Right? It should be Rav Nachman, going to Escorial. The Rebbe would be in Altana, this is clearly in Amora. Rebbe al Pirk, Rebbe Nachman al Pirk, the Rebbe Yuni went into Rebbe Yuni's Drasha, Amar Kumei Hador. He said in front of him this previous Gemara which you just learned. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yudon said to Rabbi Nachman, and more than my thought. Look at the next statement. Nishbab, in other words, in the Mishnah, Nishbab, the Shomer takes a shvuah, the Lord so Shomer didn't want to pay. If and when the Ganav is found, Mishan Teshlumi Kefel. He pays double. Tavach Machmashan Teshlumi Arav Chamisha. But whom does he pay then? about pikadon that he pays to the original owner, right, when there's a shvur. If you're going to say it's a gzeres hakosuv, that sometimes it goes to the shomer, right, as we were saying, the gzeres hakosuv sometimes kefil goes to the shomer, he can acquire the right to the kefil. So the yishalim bishop pikadon etzo. Why in this case also? Whether the shomer got off the hook by virtue of paying the original owner, or the shomer got off the hook by virtue of taking a shvur, he should only pay to the shomer.
Yeah, but the shomer wasn't out any money in the case of the
shomer. You're saying good. It says Yerushalmi, the Gzeres HaKosov. Now, the Ribas Taka says the Machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Ribas says the Bavli holds it to Svo, that he buys the right to the kefil when he pays, like you just said. Right? That makes sense, right? Okay. Bavli makes sense. That's not Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says Gzeres HaKosov. Yerushalmi's going to learn out of a pasuk. Okay? Rabbi Nazar, Shem Rayyun, is that Chaim Shnaim Yishalim. Double you pay. Okay? Lemokum Shakarin Mahalech Shama Kefa Mahalech. Wherever the Karen goes, the Kefa goes. Now, where the Shomer, what he says, when the Shomer paid the original owner. So now, when the double gets paid, one of those payments is going to have to go where? To reimburse the. The shomer.
Yeah.
So once the shomer gets one of the payments, he gets the second payment as well. That's how he's learning Gzeres HaKosuv. Not like the Bavli, that it's a svara, that he was koine the right to kefil. Rather, since he needs to get one payment, mimeil the other payment falls in his lap as well. And there'll be ramifications to that distinction later on. So according to the Bavli, it's svara. According to the Yerushalmi, it's Gzeres HaKosuv. Okay? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Nasa also added, B'shem Rabbi Yisrochin, the same name Rabbi Yisrochin, you know? Lo sof tov arshilim, you should know, and it sounds to me like this is much better like Yerushalmi than the Bavli, it's also in the Bavli as well. It's not just if the guy, the Shomer, already paid cash, that he gets the kefil. Once he announced that he's willing to pay, Commissioner Sherman says if he paid. This works out very well according to Bavli, because the Bavli says the whole work is he's willing to
take a chance
and take care of the Baal Pikadon, right?
So even if he doesn't do it, he's still.
No, of course he has to do it eventually, but even the promise to do so, you know, the pledge to pay the Baal Pikadon, which is collectible, is enough to get him, the shomer, to be liable, right? To get the shomer to get the kefil in case there is kefil, right? So even if he hasn't actually paid out yet by the time the ganav comes on the scene, but the fact is he's willing to give that peace of mind to the Baal Pikadon that he's the guarantor, that of itself gets him the kefil.
So in that case, he really makes out well, because he doesn't pay the money?
No, he's got to pay the money.
Oh.
He does have to pay. No. He can't.
It's not like
No. Not out of the guy. But it's not as glad according to Yerushalmi. Because according to Yerushalmi, it's a gzeres hakosuv that if you put that whoever gets the initial payment gets the second payment. So here, if he hasn't yet paid the original owner, why should he get the payment for anything? Yeah, nevertheless, the same halacha pertains in that case, according to Yerushalmi.
I would say it's almost like you're rewarding him because he was willing to take the chance.
But that means even if he hasn't paid out any money yet, so it goes flies in the face of the Spindel principle, right? You haven't yet saved his bottom line. Yes, you guaranteed it, but you haven't yet saved it. But in any event, that's what it says. It's what it says. So you're obviously right. So it says the mother Amar Mishali money. Says Mar, however, if he says, now I'm going to pay. Now I'm not sure exactly what the difference is. The Yerushalmi is kind of vague here. But if he says I'm going to pay, we're afraid that he actually himself embezzled the thing. So it's not clear exactly, you know, when we say that we're willing to because he pledges to pay, to give him the rights of the Kefa. And we say it must be the fact that he's pledging to pay is because he himself is responsible for the item's disappearance.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Yeah, it's a scam. So the question when we say what, it's not clear here at all. The Mara doesn't clarify when we say what, right?
Which was my question a while back. I was confused. Does he just pledge to pay, or and if they find the Ganef, does the Ganef pay Kefa even though he pledged and didn't pay the
Kefa? That's a satellite before.
Yeah. Or does you wait until he pays the Baal Kefa and then the Kefa goes to the shomer?
Well, that's not what we're saying now. We're saying slightly differently. We're saying before he actually gave any money over, right? Perhaps this pledge is just meant to deflect, you know, attention from him. Just similar to what you're saying, but not exactly the same thing. But I'm not sure. It's not clear to me. The plain motion seems to see the Gemaras are arguing with each other. These two Gemaras. One says we trust him implicitly, and explicitly, and so we don't trust him at all. But there's probably some medium balance in the middle. In other words, if a person's willing to pay, it doesn't do with over much alacrity and eagerness, so that indicates to us that he's sincere about it, and he just feels bad about it, and therefore he should get the kefil, because he paid the carrot. A person does it with great alacrity and great, what's the word I'm looking for? Great anxiety, then he's probably guilty of some crime, and then there's no way he should ever get the kefil, even though he can't prove about it. So it must be some dichotomy like that, although I'm not sure if I'm correct about that. Similarly, if he said, I'll take an oath, which of course would not allow him to get the kefil, and then he saw they're going to call, make and take other oaths, right? Because the principle of Gilgul Shvuah, once you make and take one, make and take more. Because the might say, you know what, Mishali money, I'll pay. We're afraid that there's some hanky-panky going on.
If he's willing to pay, what difference
does
it make?
What?
If he's willing to pay for the item, so what difference
does
it make, even if
there is
hanky-panky?
Oh, so it's interesting, Machlokas, about this, too. Shartar Machlokas, according to the Rif, and once he can't renege on the deal, and he's got to take the Shvua, and he's got to actually... He's got to take the Shvua
and
the Gilgul Shvuas and Tafanim, and he doesn't get the Kefil. According to the Rosh and those who are like him, that he can get off the hook by pain. He just won't get the Kefil. The Machlokas will be made to take the Shvua anyway, and he doesn't get the Kefil, or he can get off the hook of the Shvuas by pain, but he doesn't get the Kefil anyway.
Does he get at least one?
What? If he paid, yeah. Pashas, if he paid, you'll get one payment. But the kefil would not go down. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yisrael said, Lo chiva sotor shvu ha'achmir lov el lo hakil. The shvu Torah did not require to take a shvu for it to be stringent upon him, but rather leniency. She must have shalom, he has the option. If he wants to pay, he pays. If he wants to take the oath, he takes the oath, which is relatively obvious. Hoi lo'edim shenigdav ha'bonus. What if the guy has witnesses that it was stolen unintentionally, right? In other words, the shomer had witnesses. He said, listen, it was stolen unintentionally, so I'm not really liable, but I'll pay you anyway. Can acquire the kefil that way. Even though it's not liable to pay, because he has witnesses as donors, and donors are off the hook. So he put pay and acquire the kefil anyway. So it says, my lame, shivos, my daughter, my blessed, I'm marcha knas of lachalos oklum. No, you can't sell your knas. In essence, what you're asking is, listen, I'm off the hook, but sell me the right to knas which you have. It doesn't work that way. The only way you can acquire knas is through exeris a kosov, which transfers the knas. What's a case like that where a shomer pays? But if a shomer has edim that he's exempt, right, and nevertheless he pays, he doesn't acquire the kefil thereby. It's an interesting spot. You can't buy knas. You can buy a person's monetary rights, but you can't buy a person's rights to a fine that you cannot buy.
I'm trying to think if what the Gemara is saying now reflects the Yushami's view or the Babli's view about whether it's Sfar or...
Yeah, you know what? It's a good point, man. It probably reflects the Yushami's view.
Yeah.
Because according to the Babli, why not? If I'm willing to do him the favor of covering him, what difference does it make? Well, why, you know, yeah. It's good. All right. In other words, it's very good. Very good. This talk that Ribaz makes the point, but think about the next case, not about this case. Ribaz makes the point that the next case, Yerushalmi only works according to the according to Yerushalmi Sephora. But you're right, this case probably also does the same thing. If, however, there were aid him that he was, it was stolen by negligence, in which case he would be liable to pay, but he could get off the hook theoretically, I guess, by shvua. Well, I'm not sure he gets off now that I think about it.
He swears to aid him that say that he was
negligent. Oh, you're right. No, of course, he has to pay in that case. Right, so Reva Klaus Shilin, but that here too is about, that's about Klaus Babi Yusham. Klaus Yusham Babi, since he would have to pay anyway, he's not doing any favors, so therefore, he's not going to get the kafel. He doesn't deserve the kafel, he's not doing any favors. But according to Yusham, it's a special exeris of kosov, that whenever the shomer pays, regardless of the catalyst for the payment,
even though
he was negligent, right. That, so that's the irony of these two cases. If he's paying because he's liable, he's mechuiv to pay, so then he gets the double, right? If he's paying, despite the fact that he's not mechuiv to pay because he was an ones,
right,
then he doesn't acquire the kefil. Because you can't buy kefil other than the ways the Torah gave it to you. But according to the Bavli, no. You buy kefil. How do you buy kefil? By paying, but only by paying where it's a voluntary gesture, a favor to the person. So that's an interesting distinction which we made, right? So in one case it's the pay purchase, and where you can't purchase it, you can't get it. In the other case, it's doing the guy a favor. If you did him a favor, you get it. If you didn't do the guy a favor, you don't get it. Very good. Okay, now the next line, nobody knows exactly how to learn it. Lieberman says it's a question of where's one god of soul from another god of, and now they're giving the kefil. So who do they give it back to? According to the Shire there, so it's Troy talking about a shomer who gave to another shomer. Then it was stolen. So when the Ganav gives back the money, so from to who they give back the money. So basically a similar idea, so is it where one Ganav stole from another Ganav, or one shomer gave to another shomer, and then a Ganav stole from the second shomer. So let's take that case. No, so that's the worst question when one doesn't answer it. Shomer number one gave to Shomer number two, and then it was stolen. The Chayyim name says a Gnev, and it was then found. Lamim Mishalim, to whom does he pay the Kefil? Marishon or Lashani or Shnim? Right. Eventually, the principal goes back to the master, to the owner. But the question is where the Kefil goes. As to whatever case where the both of them paid, I don't know exactly. Must be some clash here, or if they both paid for the Karen, so then the question where the kefil goes to something to that effect, and more doesn't resolve the question. Okay, halacha base. Hasada poor mechaver is somebody who rents a poor from his friend b'shul acher, and he loads it somebody else who makes and it dies kedark in the normal fashion. Okay, so you have a renter. I rented my cow to Reuven, right? And
so it's not a flow.
Well, it's not
Shia. Doesn't matter. Shol is chayav in any case except Mesa Machmas Melacha. If it dies in the course of doing work. Even act of God, he's liable to pay. So it comes out in irony. That's the whole point of our Mishnah. I rented, Reuven rented from, let's take three names. No, let's use Hertz. Hertz rented the cow, right? Hertz rented the cow to Reuven. Reuven gave it on loan without getting paid to Shimon.
With Hertz's permission.
With Hertz's permission. Now the car dies, right? The cow dies. Cow, car. So the cow dies. The socher, the renter, Reuben, gets off the hook with Hertz very easily. He just takes an oath that it died in normal fashion. He's part because the socher is exempt on an act of God. The animal's dying, right? But our shoyel is mishan l'soicher. The shoyel, the guy to whom Reuven loaned it, he has to pay to Reuven because the shoyel is liable on acts of God. So if our alt in this case Hertz loses, Reuven gains. Okay. Amar Yosef said it doesn't make any sense. Ketzad alo says chora b'prosar shel chavero. How can Reuven make money if Hertz is not going to, if it belongs to Hertz? It's counterintuitive. Halo tafsar balim polim balim. It cannot be. The cow must go back to its original owner. Says Rabbi Yeshua Shus Lashiel. I understand. Now I said it's with permission, but the Gemara is actually going to prove that there's permission, or rather make that explicit. Excuse me. Has Reuven had permission to rent and to loan it out to Shimon? Lochintai Rabbi Chinin teaches Ein Hashor Rashi Lashiel. A borrower cannot lent out something. Nor may a renter rent out something. A borrower rent out. Nor for our purposes. Is a renter allowed to borrow to loan out? Unless they get permission. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer. He gave permission. It should really be Lashiel, because we're talking about here to loan it. The Ka means here, but it's talking about somewhere else. It's about in Ksuvis. Ushnasla Rishus Lasos Bar Potropa. It's about a case where you delegated authority to your wife, and you gave her permission not just that she should be the guardian of a certain part, but you should also be able to give it to her kids to be guardians as well. Not relevant to our sugi, but it got tacked on this line from elsewhere. You know, a lot of times it happens to Yerushalmi, they have fragments of different sugis which attach on to these sugis. Rebel asks like this, in this case, also Babli. Shalu Bailim Yasoicher. Hertz loaned it, took it on loan back from Reuven. Hertz rented out a donkey to Reuven. Then Reuven gave it a loan back to Hertz. You know, Hertz needed it for a minute, so he took it back. So Umeis Lidaka died. Hertz's position. Yishav Asar Shemeis Lidaka. So Reuven takes an oath to Hertz that it died normally. Vashor Mishalim Socher, and Hertz has got to pay Reuven. That's
we
right.
Had
that. Yeah, we had in the Bavli. Maybe had before the Shana, but recently. But it's a well-known Bavli. V'inkeit, that's the case. Afilu achlua. What if Hertz makes a barbecue with it? Does Hertz then have to pay Reuven for having made a part of barbecue with it? Our Rebbe said no. That part does go. Achlu mishalo en achlu. Achlu shalo en achlu. If Hertz eats it, that means basically he's terminating the rental agreement. And that means that he's not a shoel who was poshea, but it's a termination of rental agreement that he doesn't have to pay. Rabbi Yosef said, we just reiterate the Mishnah, Hecha lo says chorah b'farashu chavero, uzer shemfarashu zeh, elatasa parlobayim, we pass in the Rabbi Yosef that we don't have these counterintuitive cases, in fact, don't work. It has to be, it has to work out properly. All right, we'll stop here for this evening. We did two blocks. And thank you very much for coming. Got a lot of schar for this one.
We'll see if the schar works on the way out.